Lorelei Verley, Lynn Gilmore, welcome.
Thank you.
It's great to be with you, Julia.
Oh, amazing.
Now, Creative Women of the World, that's your brainchild and baby, Lorelei, mm-hmm. for about a decade now, mm-hmm. and it's about to become yours as well, Lynn. Very briefly, Lorelei, what's your mission?
Our mission is to equip women with entrepreneurial resources so that they can build a sustainable business through the power of creativity.
So they can take care of themselves, their family,
exactly.
wherever they are in the world.
Exactly.
And that's a big chore. You're certainly not retiring from the sound of things or even slowing down. So why are you passing the torch? Why now?
I think as you get older, you recognize what your sweet spots are, what you really feel deeply passionate about. And for me, certainly the training is where I get so much energy. When I'm able to relate to the women on a one-on-one basis, that means so much. On the other hand, administration, I can do it. I've learned a lot, mm-hmm. but it's not my sweet spot.
Somebody does have to do it. And I'll also note that you started with the training. That was one of your first callings. And
yes.
so that's how this all kind of came together.
Yes.
And Lynn, the torch is being passed to you. And the carrying out and enacting of any especially worthy cause like this is your sweet spot. So is Lorelei's purpose and passion contagious?
Oh, absolutely. I've known Lorelei for a long time. And when I was asked to join the board several years ago, I was thrilled because I had been shopping at the store and it gave me an opportunity to contribute in more ways than just buying product and appreciating what I bought. So in my retirement, this is giving me another opportunity to serve the community in so many different ways. But also, I share Lorelei's passion, and I think the passion of everybody who walks into the store about the good that what we do does around the world. And there is so much going on in the world that it's hard to discern what can I do as one person.
That's mm-hmm. fantastic. And your skill sets and special interests that you are bringing to the game come from many advocacy situations that you've done professionally. What do you think your biggest asset is that you can share in this capacity?
Well, what's real exciting is that over the course of my career in Fort Wayne, I have built so many different kinds of collaborations, and I see this coming to bear for Creative Women of the World. I'm looking at what can we do to advance some of the activities downtown, for example, among the other retailers and restaurants, and really help build the capacity and the desire for more people to come downtown, because there's still a lot of people who don't take advantage of what we have downtown. And then on the business training side, for one person to do all of what we can do is really challenging. So I'm looking at building collaborations with other organizations that are currently working or providing healthcare services in third world countries. So how can we all work together? And one of my dreams is to have a summit of groups that are working internationally right here in Fort Wayne. And I'd like Creative Women to be at the top of that heap because of the terrific track record that Lorelei has in business training and making contacts with people in developing countries.
All great points. And this is all about women's empowerment, your
Absolutely.
Whole movement, everything mm-hmm. we're talking about here on a global as well as local level. What are the biggest obstacles that you tackle?
Well, the biggest thing that we try to do is to develop relationships, and that takes a long time. It takes a lot of contact, and we can't be in that country all the time, but I'm so grateful for technology. Yesterday, I was on WhatsApp with the woman we work with in Honduras, and one of her biggest obstacles are the criminal organizations that particularly target women businesses, make it almost impossible for them to do it. So we give them the skills on how do you counteract that. Most of them never knew how to manage their money. So we give them a very simple system that is basically budgeting and accounting all in one.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It really brings them into the 21st century.
Yes.
And for the last decade that you've been at this,
yes.
and Lynn, you've been involved too, what are the milestones you have passed, biggest ones in this time period?
It's hard to narrow them down. But I would say the hundreds of women that we have been able to connect with and give them these tools and the stories that we hear back of how it's changing the way they operate their businesses.
For real.
Yes, absolutely. And then lately, we've gotten more local people taking our training.
So looking forward, what's on the immediate horizon?
Well, the store growth has been tremendous. Mm-hmm. And as downtown keeps evolving and offers more to the consumer, we're seeing great increase in purchasing. As a result of that, we are adding more to our inventory and bringing a haute couture kind of fair trade vibe to the store. That's going to, I think, attract a different kind of buyer. But we have price points for everybody. And it's not just women's apparel or jewelry or accessories, but also home decor and infant and children apparel and activities. It means that we are expanding and looking at a greater reach in terms of the kinds of products that we are going to be able to offer.
You're growing your market and also increasing your sources and resources for that market. So it sounds like all the ways that you continue to grow are going to be driven by your actual street traffic, if you will.
Yeah, the store is the physical asset that we have that demonstrates some of the business training. Not every artisan in business training has product that comes back to us, but it does demonstrate the resourcefulness of women all over the world.
So what will be the biggest advantage with you out in the field now, Lorelei, and you're doing your training and connections and such, and Lynn, you right here at home base?
I think that in terms of my role with the organization, first of all, it's just to do retail is really hard work. And then to add business training and international travel on top of that is very demanding from an energy standpoint. So I see my role as facilitating the activities within the store, looking at different promotional events that we'll host in store. And one of the things that we are really thoughtful about is when there is an event outside of the store that we think is a nice match for replicating some of the products that we have, we take them out. It brings people into the store is one component of how we manage our retail sales. But the other is, what can we do within our own block that really drives the business? And then continue to build those collaborations and relationships that not only strengthens Creative Women of the World, but also our downtown area.
That is so very, very exciting for the whole community here. And Lorelei, what will you be able to do different because you know this is all happening back home?
Well, when we are able to generate profits through the store, that's going to support more training. And that's what makes me feel really good, that that's going to be moving forward and supporting what we're doing.
Like never before. And
exactly.
You can do the other half.
Correct.
Like never before. That is just about a dream come true. Mm-hmm. And I am kind of curious. Back in 2007, Lorelei, no matter how big you could and were probably dreaming, could you picture this?
I really don't think I had any idea what it would become, nor did I realize how hard it would be to do, to be totally honest.
But now you've done it, and are you glad you have?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've gotten down to the DNA of who I am, and it has touched a very deep part of me.
That's excellent, because it's making you more and more productive than ever before, and I think that's beautiful. And Lynn, equal opportunity of all of the wonderful charitable and life-enriching things that you've very consciously devoted your life to. Did you ever think you're going to jump on this kind of a merry-go-round at this time of your life?
Not at all, Julia, but it is the perfect storm, if you will, because I have co-owned women's retail stores both in Chicago and Fort Wayne. So that is the overlap to this. But also, I blame a lot of this on my mother. She was a great shopper and she was a great volunteer. God bless her. So I feel that I've got my mother's DNA for shopping and volunteering. And so as the role model that she was for me, I'm just ecstatic that I continue on that road to shopping and volunteering right here in Fort Wayne.
That is grand. And all of this works for generational goodness, CWOW itself and your abilities there, Lynn. That is righteous, I have to say. Now, on the other side of the coin, you are facing difficult issues around the world every day. Mm-hmm. That's what this is all about. Do you ever get overwhelmed or maybe even angry with what's still wrong out there, what's still undone?
Yes. And to be totally honest, there is this phenomena called compassion fatigue. And sometimes I feel so deeply what the women are going through when they're meeting safety issues, when they are meeting issues that keep them from being able to attain what they really deserve to attain. And I just feel so helpless sometimes. And yes, we're doing the best we can by offering them the equipping, but it's ultimately up to them. And I have to keep motivating them as well so that it is truly theirs and not us doing something to them.
And it has to be so weighty on your mind. I'm happy that you can overcome all of that. Meanwhile, what do you get personally every single day from all of this?
There is such a richness. I'm actually starting to write a biography. And since I grew up in Japan, I'm actually basing it on Japanese words and concepts that I was exposed to as a child and how I have learned from those throughout my adult life and what they have taught me in order to be able to do this very task.
Well, that sounds exciting. And this is all because of your new role. And
exactly.
Lynn, we thank you for that part too. And Lynn, as you are taking over for Lorelei and really jumping into it and going forward now, what are you feeling as regards this operation, the frustrations as well as the victories?
Well, I feel a great responsibility to maintain and also help grow this phenomenal organization. When I look around the store and I see the beautiful merchandise that we have, knowing that that beauty was created out of despair, perhaps, fear, an emergency feeling, how can I afford to send my children to school when they don't have shoes? How do I pay for services that I might need that are in my village? And so when I see a beautiful piece of jewelry from Japan, broken pieces of china that women collected along the shoreline after the tsunami, and they're stunning. And you know that people have a very difficult time just getting by day to day, and here they are producing all these extraordinary things that we will buy and I hope cherish in the same way that those things were created. It's hard to think about how you can make a difference in the world, but here you're making a difference in someone's life and perhaps their village or their little town. You know, that's the correlation that I see in the relationship that Creative Women of the World has with all of its vendors and artisans.
Lorelei Verlee is founder of Creative Women of the World and Lynn Gilmore, its new interim director. Thank you to Very Creative Women of the World for sharing your story with us today. Congratulations, and do keep on that journey.
Thank you, Julia.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.